Welcome to another edition of Cat Soup, the best of internet humor on the radio. I'm Cat.
And I'm Joe.
You had to read that.
Well, no, it just starts out in blue when you read it. I'm like, wait a minute, why is that in blue?
I'm a little colorally challenged today. Anyway,
because
today,
I couldn't have said I'm Cat.
No, today we're going to drop it like it's hot.
What? Well, say what?
Drop it like it's hot.
Say, Mama, what you talking about, girl?
I'm not sure.
Oh, girl.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll tell you. Anyways.
You're scaring me. Our national holidays from holidayinsights.com today for the week of December 18th through 24th.
Uh-oh.
December 19th is Look for an Evergreen Day.
Look for an evergreen.
Yes. There's no, don't sing the Barbra Streisand song or I'll throw something at you. There's no shortage of types of Christmas trees. Generally classified as firs, spruces, and pines, the most popular varieties have changed over the years. Personal preference will determine whether you select a short needle or a long needle tree. If you haven't selected a tree yet, it's certainly getting late. As we research the special day, we question the timing. By the 19th of December, most people have found and put up their Christmas tree, so if you're still treeless, this special day could be the day to do so.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was little, Santa Claus brought the Christmas tree.
Man, that is old.
Well, I think it's because my dad didn't get paid.
Ooh.
You know, until Christmas Eve. But yeah, we would wake up and the tree would be there Christmas morning.
We always had Christmas trees, even when we were poor, but that's because we went in the forest and cut it down. Literally, we went into the forest to cut it down.
Aw, that's fun. I remember one morning I woke up and went downstairs, and this, of course, I was a child of the 60s, and I opened the door to the family room, and there was one of those silver trees with pink and blue satin balls on it. And I cried hysterically because I thought, there's no way Santa's going to put presents under that tree. And there were no presents under the tree. And I said, say what you done. And then, of course, my mother opened the doors to the other room, and there was this wonderful tree with all kinds of presents.
Faked you out.
Faked me out. Yes. Ta-da. Yes, 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 yes.
December 21.
Mm-hmm.
Hanukkah. Chanukkah. The Jewish festival of
life. Hanukkah.
Okay, folks. Please, no letters. Yeah, go ahead and write. Hanukkah. Yeah, I like that.
That's the cat's version.
Yeah. Furball.
We're so sorry.
Nice timing.
We apologize.
That was not scripted. That was just beautiful timing for improv.
Anyway, what is Hanukkah?
Don't know.
It's the Jewish Festival of Lights.
I said that.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
I was too much.
Yeah.
December 21st is Humbug Day.
Oh.
This allows everyone preparing for Christmas to vent their frustrations. Sure, venting frustrations over the stress of Christmas is appropriate for this day, but we believe Humbug Day is much, much more. We believe Humbug Day brings out all the Scrooge in all of us. Scrooges all over have been waiting for this day and come out of the woodwork in great numbers. They go so far as venting a few frustrations. Many Scrooges are negative towards Christmas in general. Okay, isn't that the definition of Scrooge? And can really put a damper on your Christmas spirit, especially when you're shopping. Ugh,
yeah.
I hate them in the malls.
Yeah. Now, we can use Humbug Day to release the stress of the holiday season. But whatever you do, avoid becoming a real bona fide Christmas Scrooge.
Indeed.
Indeed, indeed. So, birthdays this week from holidayinsights.com.
A lot of them here.
It was, yeah. December 19, 1933, Cecilia Tyson, actress.
Cicely Tyson. And she did that movie Because of Winn-Dixie.
December 19th, 1972, Alyssa Milano, actress.
And her big movies, well, they weren't big, but there were two movies she did. One was Sunday at Tiffany's, about the jewelry store, and the other was Buying a Cow. Well, she was on Who's the Boss, but it has nothing to do with our theme today, Dave.
That was the only way I remember.
Yeah.
December 20th, 1868, Harvey Firestone, tire manufacturer.
You know, I need new tires. Do you know if there's a sale on anywhere?
Yeah, Leopold's.
Okay.
This is not an endorsement.
Oh.
December 24th, which is funny because I'm getting ready to go there today.
You're going to December 24th today?
No, I'm going to Leopold's today to get tires.
Well, say hello to them for me.
I will do that.
Okay.
December 24th, 1905, Howard Hughes, industrialist, aviator, producer, recluse.
Did you know he has a shopping center named after him in L.A.?
Let me guess. It's big. It flew for 37 seconds. Never mind.
Yeah.
December 24th, 1931, Mary Higgins Clark, author.
Her books are in bookstores everywhere.
And what did she write?
A lot of books. I don't know.
That was
I don't remember.
Bad setup, but I loved it. December 24th, 1974, Ryan Seacrest, host of American Idol.
Where does he buy his clothes?
Probably gets them for free.
Yeah, probably.
This Day in History from HolidayInsights.com. On December 19th, 1843, Charles Dickens published A Christmas Carol.
And December 21st, 1937, Snow White premiered in theaters. Probably those were in malls. No, 1937, we really didn't have malls.
No, those were actually old movie theaters.
That's cool.
Yes.
That's cool.
December 21, 1620, the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Yeah, why don't we celebrate that? That would be an important thing to celebrate.
Because
we
seem
don't.
To be forgetting our history of the founding of our
country. Oh, we're too busy shopping, maybe.
That's probably it.
Yeah. December 23rd, the transistor was invented by U.S. physicists John Barden, Walter H. Britton, and William Shockley. And we pay homage to that since this is radio and transistor radios and all
yes,
that stuff.
Yes, and us geek people here who like the Shockley diodes and other things and understand what she just said.
Oh, I don't understand what you just said, but okay. So what's our theme for today, Joe?
Dead people?
No.
We just read a bunch of dead people.
Oh, no. Because of Winn-Dixie. You know what Winn-Dixie is? It's a grocery store. Sunday, Tiffany's buying a cow. What else did I look for an evergreen?
Spending
day?
Too much money and forgetting what the season's about.
Or shop till you drop.
Ta-da. Ta-da.
Drop it like it's hot. Yeah.
Ta-da.
Drop that credit card.
And pick it up again and
That's
drop
right.
it again.
That's right. So our curious saying for today is ripoff. From answers.com.
So we're going to shop till we drop, but we're going to jump into ripping it off.
Well, yeah, because if you get a bad deal at a store, you got ripped off.
Okay, that's most of the stores, but anyways.
To the rebellious, politically radical youth of the late 1960s, steal was too bourgeois a word. It implied criticism of the act of liberating wrongfully acquired property that had been stolen from the people by capitalist pigs. So they ripped off a verb from urban African-American slang, as in a 1967 article in Transaction magazine. The hustler burns people for money, but he also rips off goods for money. He thieves, and petty thieving is always a family hustle.
Ripoff appears in a 1970 New Yorker article in words shouted by a woman, "We're out of here, and the chemical bank is gloating about how you're going to rip us off. Well, we're going to go into the streets and rip you off."
By 1970, ripoff was a noun, too. In the service of the radicals' class struggle, a publication of that year defined ripoff as capitalist exploitation, as written by a capitalist. As the New Yorker article indicates, ripoff was also used in expressing outrage on the part of innocent victims. So, in a 1971 issue of the magazine Friends, we find the young people are well aware that they are being ripped off by these parasites and quite naturally think that the visiting musicians are on the side of the promoters. Not long thereafter, ripoff is also found in the sense of to plagiarize.
Mm-hmm. The radicals of the 60s and the 70s have yielded to the conservative yuppies of 1984 and the apolitical Generation X in the 1991 era. But ripoff remains a forceful term to use to protest against maltreatment.
Yes, and since we were talking about internet and the best of internet, one of my favorite websites is the Ripoff Report.
The Ripoff Report.
Yes, and it's not humorous at all. It's theripoffreport.com. If you think maybe you're in some shading dealings with a business, you can go look there and people report people that have ripped them off. And I've been saved from a couple scams from there. It's a wonderful website.
Yeah, it's like a lot of the stuff comes through the internet is, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's good, and it'll tell you what is a ripoff and what isn't. And anyway, that wasn't funny at all. Back to the jokes, folks.
I'm so depressed.
I have a top five list.
Okay, so let me think. Last week we were at 12.
Yes.
But since we're being ripped
we're
off.
We're counting down for
we
Christmas.
We might as well go for 13 this week.
11.
11.
Yes.
Boom, boom.
From top5.com, the top 11 signs you're caught up in the holiday shopping frenzy.
Uh-oh.
Number 11, before stepping out of your car, you put in a mouthpiece, slip on protective goggles, and tape your ankles.
That's just being frugal.
Yes.
Number 10, you somehow convince yourself that Visa Burn entitles you to park in handicap spaces.
Visa Burn is a handicap. Okay. Number 9, you call the kids to dinner and hear the muffled screams coming from the boxes you wrapped that afternoon. Oops.
Ooh. Number eight, at 95% off, you don't care if that Acme Iron Lung works or not. Your kids are going to use it and appreciate it.
Oh, my. Number seven, sure, the sign says one iPad per customer, but they're probably not doing body cavity searches. Ouch.
Yeah.
Maybe that was supposed to be iPod.
iPad.
Okay.
They are iPads.
Okay.
We're in the 2.0 generation of iPads.
Oh, okay.
They're bigger. I know. I still can't afford them. Number six, the bank has replaced your platinum Visa with a one-of-a-kind plutonium Visa.
Number five, on any given day, you have more plastic on you than Anna Nicole Smith and Pamela Lee Anderson combined.
Ow! Number four, in an effort to please your five-year-old, you trade your two-year-old for a Tickle Me Elmo. Yes!
Number three, the producers of American Gladiators call after seeing you fight for the last iPod on CNN.
That's funny. Number two, your MasterCard bill arrives on a zip disk.
And the number one sign you're caught up in the holiday shopping frenzy.
Upon awakening on the sofa, you discover 10 beer empties, 5 cheetah bags, and an answering machine message thanking you for your order of 100 Dale Earnhardt Hummel figurines from QVC.
Yes, up north, we invest in mutual funds and stocks. Down south, you know how they invest? They buy the entire set of Dale Earnhardt NASCAR commemorative plates.
Or those Christmas plates. Yep.
Yep.
Gotta have them.
They don't sell at all, folks.
So what are you doing being in my house looking at my kitchen?
I'm sorry.
That was supposed to be a secret.
They were gifts. From dumbcriminals.com.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun.
An officer goes on an illegal shopping spree. A Chicago police officer has been charged with theft and official misconduct as opposed to unofficial misconduct, after being accused of stealing credit cards from a man he arrested and then running up a $1,600 charge.
James Chevis, 36, is accused of taking a debit and credit card from Nick Loja, who Chevis arrested after a bar fight. Loja said Chevis took the cards and his driver's license when he was in police custody. Loja said the driver's license was later returned by a different officer, and when Loja asked about his debit and credit card, the officer said he didn't know anything about them.
Seems like nobody got what they wanted for Christmas.
Side note, Chicago, the way things work in Chicago?
Oh, yeah.
If he would have shared the loot with everybody, they wouldn't have arrested him.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
It's Chicago, baby.
I guess.
Don't mess with Granny.
Indeed.
An elderly woman spent a leisurely shopping at the mall. Upon returning to her vehicle, she found four strange males sitting in her car. Frightened, the woman dropped her shopping bags and drew her handgun. She told the man that if they don't get out of the car, she would shoot. The four men ran off quickly, whereabout the lady got into her car. Her key, however, would not fit.
Right. The woman then realized that her car was the identical one parked a few spaces down. She drove to the police department and reported the story. The officer on duty laughed hysterically and pointed to the other end of the counter where four pale men had reported a hijacking by a mean old lady with a gun. No charges were filed. Oh, yes, that could have been me.
That there is funny. I don't care what you say.
That there is funny. I don't care who you are. Yeah, yeah.
And I apologize.
Well, we have a story from crack.com.
Oh, I love stories.
Yeah, it's actually kind of a rant story. This is ways stores use science to trick you into buying. Can we say this word, Dave? Or maybe. Can we say that word? Oh, okay. Ways stores use science to trick you into buying crap.
Uh-huh.
This is written by Paul K. Pickett.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Big chunk of the world economy runs on human weakness. Peer pressure, vanity, insecurity, the fact that we just cannot resist the sight of melted cheese, all of these will make us fork over our cash. And really, we're fine with that. But what you might not know is that there are some other, much weirder scientific principles that factor into what you buy. You might not know about them, but the people selling the things sure as heck do.
All right, so here we go. Number five, you move in predictable patterns.
Move.
That was moveless.
Just read.
You step in the front door of your nearest chain grocery store. What's immediately to your right? At Walmart, Kroger, Whole Foods, and countless others, that's the fresh produce section. Some of them have to have their baked goods over there too, and at those stores, the doors and registered are positioned to steer you directly that direction when you walk in.
This is because after years of analysis of how humans move in a store, they found that we're easy to predict as animal migrations. Moo. Ooh. Studies show that Americans like to shop counterclockwise. Over time, they found that stores that cater to this by putting the door on the right side do better business than stores with the door in the center or, worst of all, the left.
Generally, stores are laid out to lead you around a set path you didn't even know you were following. Knowing you'll head right, they'll place the furthest, best-looking stuff they got right to in your path. Not the most popular stuff, mind you. They know most of you don't run in the store at midnight to buy lettuce, and they know that if you put the Doritos to the right, you grab them and head to the counter. Instead, they lead you off with the produce, which tends to make the best physiological impression upon you.
Psychological.
That's what I said. Physiological. The idea is that you'll associate the rest of the store with freshness, bright colors, and nice smells you got from the nicely laid out produce.
Boy, those fresh carrots sure did help me forget that everything in this aisle has been dead for weeks.
After they hit you with the brightly colored lemons, apples, and oranges, they schedule your predictable counterclockwise path so that the different products show up at the exact time that will make you most likely to buy the stuff you actually came for. Cola, chips, milks, eggs, sliced cheese, cookies. They don't show up until the end. Once your cart is checked out full of stuff, you don't know you need it when you walk through those automatic doors.
Remember, the goal is to keep you in the store as long as possible and to make you pass as many shelves as possible. You can't buy the new nacho cheese flavored hamburger helper if you don't know it exists.
Now, why does this work? We know that rotational patterns like this are common in herd animals like elephants, but nobody's quite sure why humans do it. Studies have shown that the British, Australian, and Japanese shoppers tend to go in the opposite direction, clockwise through the store. So, some have speculated it's based on the side of the road you're most used to driving on. Oh. If you drive on the right, you head right and follow the wall around.
Well, whatever causes the impulse, it's really strong. A store in Philadelphia wanted shoppers entering their store on the left to move clockwise. They forced customers to enter using the left entrance, only to see them immediately head to the right once inside. The managers then put down several pallets of goods in the way, thinking shoppers would just shrug and turn left and continue shopping. But they were wrong. Customers struggled by the blockade to the right, shoving their carts through, demanding to move in a counterclockwise fashion, as determined as salmon swimming upstream. That's so sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't realize.
I always thought it was a right brain, left brain thing.
Yeah, evidently not.
So I'm going to purposely try to go counterclockwise in my Acme store and see what happens.
We got enough time to go through the rest of these?
I don't know. What time is it?
We're down to 11 minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, you know what? Here we go. This is one of the ones that I like, though. You can't comprehend numbers.
We can't?
No.
Okay.
The headlines after Steve Jobs unveiled the iPad mostly focused on how inexpensive it was. Only $4.99. That's a good price for a... Wait, for what? The thing didn't exist before that day. That's actually more than a netbook costs. It's more than a phone. So how did we decide $4.99 was a good price? Good question.
Also, why are we still doing that X99 thing on our prices instead of just saying it'll be $500, we'll still frame it as $4.99, even when addressing a crowd full of educated, savvy consumers, as if you're too stupid to realize $4.99 is only $1 less. We've surely figured that out by now.
No. Humans are really bad with numbers, and it manifests itself in a whole bunch of different ways in the world of retail. It's the reason you will patiently wait for a sweater to go on sale so you can get it for 10% off. And then buy it with a credit card and wind up paying more than the original price once the interest of 26% is figured in. Mm-hmm. It's the reason we'll take a longer mortgage on a house in exchange for a lower payment, because we can't wrap our minds around the idea that the longer mortgage means over time we're going to pay $50,000 more for the exact same house.
So, when it comes to setting prices, sellers know that it's mostly up to them to frame us for what the price should be. In the biz, they call this price anchoring. So, you'll go to the Best Buy and see a new TV that's 25% off the regular price, or MSRP. Then you Google around and find out what they're claiming is a regular price, in fact, is not the price anywhere. You're saving 25% over an imaginary number.
As for the iPad's pleasant surprise of $4.99, That was due to rumors leading up to the launch that it would cost $1,000 from sources like Apple Insider. Then in the unveiling, Jobs was sure to mention how everyone expects the device to cost $1,000. He plants the idea in your mind and suddenly $4.99 looks like a steal.
Now, why did this work? Picture three golf balls lined up in a row. Okay. Now, picture a box full of 4,258 golf balls.
Ooh, Not only can you not see in your head what 4,258 balls looks like, you probably don't even have a ballpark idea of how big a box of that would take. Our brains just aren't equipped to handle numbers instinctively. From an evolution standpoint, it's no surprise. Complex numbering systems weren't even invented until 5,000 or so years ago, and sexual selection doesn't exactly favor math geeks, if you know what we mean. So, to drive home how much we really suck at math, studies found that the harder we try to keep track of what we spend, the worse we are. Budget-conscious shoppers who tried to track every penny in their cart wound up wrong by 20%. Why? Because the 99 cents thing makes doing the math almost impossible. Quick, how much does it cost for three cans of beer at $2 each?
Six.
$6. You knew that instantly. How much does it cost for three cans at $1.99 each?
$5 and...
Mostly you have to get a pen and paper if you're me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So that explains it. Oh, we have another top five list.
With?
11.
11 again?
Yes.
Wow.
It's kind of a theme.
2 weeks in a row.
The top 11 signs a monkey did all your Christmas shopping.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Dave likes that one. Number 11, the 2-DVD set of Gorillas Gone Wild.
Number 10, chocolate-covered lice. Aw, you shouldn't have.
Number 9, you had no idea Nike made an opposable big toe version of their shoes.
Number 8, $2,700 in charges on your MasterCard at the Banana Republic.
Number 7, all the gifts are under the tree, but the tree is on top of the Empire State Building.
Number 6, building with Faye Ray's mummified body on top.
Number 5, this year's hot toy, Mattel's Stick to Jam Down, an anthill.
Do you get that one?
Sticks to Jam Down, an anthill. Not really, no.
Monkeys are known for taking a long, thin piece of twig or stick, and in an anthill, they'll stick it in because the ants will attack the stick. They bring out the stick, and then they can lick the ants off the stick.
Kind of like ant fondue.
It's ant fondue.
That's cool.
But now it's a Mattel stick to jam down an anthill.
I got it. Oh, never mind. Mm-hmm.
Number 4, certificate for one free hour of tick picking.
Number 3, under the tree, a banana. Banana pudding, banana cookies, banana bread, candy bananas, banana body lotion, banana shampoo, banana daiquiri mix, and 101 banana recipes. And in your stocking, the director's cut DVD of King Kong and the Best of Bananarama CD.
Number 2, everyone got copies of Your Way to Flatter Abs.
And the number 1 sign a monkey did all your Christmas shopping.
The red vest and the cap are certainly festive, but the neighbors complain whenever you use the symbols.
Aww, ding, ding, I like ding, that ding, one. Ding, 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 ding.
Found it on your head, and we brought the little symbol monkey and just play that in the background. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, I found a new website.
Uh-oh.
For jokes. It's called isearchjokes.com, and you can put in any subject, and I tried because I put in a bunch of subjects, and it will find all the jokes on the internet related to that subject.
Ooh.
So I put in shopping, and we came up with these. The first one, it was Christmas, and the judge was in a merry mood as he asked the suspect, "What are you charged with?"
"Doing my Christmas shopping early," replied the defendant.
"That's no offense," said the judge. "How early were you doing this shopping?"
"Before the store opened, counted the prisoner." That's early shopping, baby.
Yipper.
"Cast, check, or charge?" I asked after folding items the woman wished to purchase. As she fumbled for her wallet, I noticed a remote control for a television set in her purse. So I asked, "Do you always carry your TV remote?"
"No," she replied. "But my husband refused to come shopping with me, so I figured this was the most evil thing I could do to him." That's good.
That's evil.
I'm going to have to keep that in my back pocket.
Evil. Mm-hmm. A shoplifter was caught red-handed trying to steal a watch from an exclusive jewelry store. "Listen," said the shoplifter, "I know you don't want any trouble either, but why do you say I just buy the watch and we forget about this?"
The manager agreed and wrote up the sales slip. The crook looked at the slip and said,
this is a lot more expensive than I intended to spend. Can you show me something less expensive?
Yeah, be frugal with your stealing, folks. Oh, my. Well, we have top signs that you're caught up in the shopping frenzy.
Oh, that's not a top five list.
No, well, it's the runners-up and the honorable mention to the other one.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so these aren't in any particular order. They're just funny.
Random thoughts of weirdness.
Yes.
Okay. About the only thing you ain't got is milk.
Yes. An aluminum siding salesman calls. You order 8 of each color.
In the emergency room, you're still trying to make sure you get that pint of AB negative before the guy in the next bed gets it.
Oh, yes, you're caught up in the shopping frenzy of, man, them senior citizens curse like sailors when they catch you swiping stuff from their cart.
I hate when they swear like that.
I know.
Mm-hmm. You just knocked over 3 little old ladies on crutches and drop-kicked 2 Salvation Army Santas over a Chia Pet in your mad dash to get to the last Hickory Farms fruitcake.
I saw an Obama Chia Pet on TV the other day.
No.
Yes.
Oh.
Isn't that sad?
Oh.
Oh, I know. His you know haircut does look...
You know you're famous when you have a Chia Pet.
A Chia Pet. Anyway, you're caught up in the shopping frenzy. If you super glue your kid to the mall Santa's lap and run off yelling, I'll be back for him next Tuesday! That's bad.
That's bad. This is even worse. Your ATM machine no longer asks for your PIN.
Mm. 25 garden weasels? You don't even know that many people.
You know what a garden weasel is, right?
Yes, I do. I have one. They're wonderful.
Okay.
Yes.
Citibank has just named their new credit division after you.
Someone mentions Christmas spirit, and it reminds you to buy that case of cheap scotch for the in-laws.
You follow PETA members around with paint remover in hopes of getting a fur coat discount.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes, that's terrible. And you're caught up in the shopping frenzy.
Okay.
Your credit card charges are responsible for 63% of the foreign trade deficit.
That's called ouch.
Oh, you know what my sign was?
No.
My numbers on my one credit card were actually rubbed off to the point that they couldn't put them through the thing anymore. The little magnetic strip was completely, from friction, it was just gone.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Now that's something using there, folks.
Yes. We have some ruminations from ruminate.com.
Quick side note.
Yes.
Oh, we got to go fast. Never mind.
No side notes.
Sometimes
we need to get Dave back to his desk, too.
Firearms, tobacco, liquor, video, and bait store. Then I could get all my Christmas shopping done in one stop. Oh, and it should have been a drive-through window. That was by Don Hunter.
Yeah. I sneezed and got little droplets all over my computer monitor, and they act like little magnifying glasses, so they're all twinkling different colors. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, by Doug Frank. That's just disgusting, Doug.
That's
Thank
bad.
You.
Mark Sabian has said, all I want for Christmas is my 2 front teeth. On a time machine that will take me back before those tequila shots made me attempt to introduce myself to the stripper and subsequently fall face first into the pole.
Oh. And I found an Irish blessing.
All right.
This is from from theitlist.com. A prayer before you go shopping. Armani, who art in Holtz, hallowed be thy shoes. Thy product come, thy shopping done, on Bloor Street as it is in Paris.
Give us this day our Visa gold, and forgive us our balances, as we forgive those who charge us interest. Lead us not into Walmart, and deliver us from Sears, for thine is the Cheno, the Goodyear, and the Versace, for Dos and Gabbana.
Amex. That's all we have for today. I'm Kat.
And I'm Joe.
And together we're
Kat Soup.
The best of internet humor on the radio.
Have a blessed week, folks.
From a garbage can.